Welcome home. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I feel like I need to do the Pac-Man thing when I'm promoting the Pac-Man Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. So we'll be giving these away twice this week. We'll be at Greenmount Bowl up in Hampstead, having the Greenmount Station Crab Cake next door, and going to watch the Angels take on the Orioles in the 4 o'clock game. I'll have these as well at Fadley Seafood, not the old Fadley Seafood, the new one, which is about 10 feet away from the old one. It's in the new market. It is brand new. It's been open all of 3 weeks. We got there on opening day. We did the show there. We're going to be doing the show there each and every Friday live from 2 until 5. Luke Jones will ride shotgun with me and then hustle out to the NFL draft. My press credentials still under review. Maybe they'll let me in. Maybe Friday's my big night against the Oakland Athletics. This is such a big week with our 25th anniversary. I'm releasing this crazy documentary, which is just put scores of pictures and images and videos and thoughts and memories and people into my head. Literally, it's almost a This Is Your Life. It is kind of a situation. And how all of this happened and people get connected to me. And this guest is pretty special because I've only had her on one other time. She sort of was the precursor to my sort of guiding light for feminine sports journalism, which was Molly Dunham, Molly Glassman, who was my boss 35 years ago and my colleague before that at the News American and at Sports First. I'm finding all these pictures of Mike Marlowe and all of Chris Zhang and all of these people from back in my youth. And there was always one name that kept coming up in our newsroom, and they were like, Susan Fornoff. And any woman that would come into the space to write, and I don't know if she's the Jackie Robinson. She certainly is of Baltimore sports journalism from the female side of things. But she went on to amazing things and wrote baseball and covered baseball, but her whole background is in Baltimore. And when her book came out, and it was all about Kingman and the Rat, and that's sort of the famous part of this. But I read the book because I had heard so much about Susan Fornoff, and it is a pleasure to have you on now in the golf world, hanging in Denver. But I reached to you, and you probably don't even know what, when I was a kid, how badly I wanted your gig, that I wanted to get a job in the San Jose Mercury News or the Oakland Tribune or the San Francisco Chronicle and the Green Pages of the Examiner. Like, I just wanted to be a baseball. I wanted to be Ken Rosenthal. It's all I wanted to be. And you were, I idolized you from afar, honestly, because you were like a Baltimore person and everybody admired you. So I don't want to make it too big on you, but like, you were in the 8 years I spent in newspaper journalism, 84 to 92, you were doing some pretty amazing things covering baseball out in the Bay Area.
Wow. Thank you so much. What a beautiful introduction. I really appreciate that. And let's thank the University of Maryland's journalism program, because that's where I got my start. And it's still going strong, a little different than it was back in my day. And please don't date us anymore with like 50 years ago this. And
no, you know, it gives wisdom. I didn't even shave for you, because, you know, I was going to shave for you, but I just figured I'd let the wisdom grow in here. And I'm working at the final edges of this crazy documentary. We're releasing it at 5:08 on Thursday before the draft. Have at it. Enjoy it. A lot of our friends and local, all Baltimore people, Gina Schock from Dundalk, you know, just local voices, Keith Brewer. But it brought me to you. And the reason it brought me to you is the A's, right? The A's are coming in. We're going to be at Fadley. We're doing this thing. The A's were the first team I ever hated. And I had to text my son, who's in my childhood home, and say, did you find the helmets maybe in the shed that I had with Popak? Because I had an Oakland A's helmet. I didn't like the A's, but I collected the helmets. But I was there, you know, when Palmer and Catfish and 73, 74, I was 5, 6 years old. I was at the game with my dad. I still have the scorecard, the whole deal. But what the Oakland A's, that ride has been for all of these years, and what the ride's been here for the last 30 years, and now Cal is back, and you're apparently coming back to Baltimore this week, but the Oakland A's brought me to you, and going through this stuff, and I'm like, who could tell me about the A's? And I think of you because of the book, and 30 years ago, I read the book, and I mean, you've been disassociated for quite some time from the Oakland A's, but I think of those stories and what could have, should have been there, and how it's like, it's the biggest fire show in sports right now, I think.
I realize that I'm a little disconnected, but after I finished my time as a baseball writer for the A's, I became a baseball fan again, you know, and it's hard to be a baseball fan when you're a baseball writer. But I live near the Coliseum, and I would go hop on BART, and it would take you right up to the Coliseum, and I'd go to games, and I just loved it. And I really admired what the A's did and tried to do in those days until they got this current owner. I'm trying to catch up a little bit on what's happened there, and it's just terrible.
When's the last time you lived there?
It's been 8 years. I've been in Colorado 8 years. So I was living in Oakland on Jack London Square on the waterfront before I came here. So I don't think they were so terrible that, I mean, it's at the point now where I feel the only way the fans can make a statement is to really not spend any more of their money to support that man who owns the team. So I wouldn't be going to games now, I don't think. Watching on the television maybe, but yeah, it's really sad. And did you see the article Dan Moore wrote in the
Yeah, I
Ringer?
re invited Dan on. Dan came on last year, 2 years. He was on 22 because he did a piece on Camden Yards changing. I mean, this was the view from where I lived for 19 years. I'm a kid from Dundalk who lived on the 23rd floor looking at Camden Yards, and he wrote this piece about how it changed all this. This is before Rutschman was just about to come up. John still owns the team. It's a mess. But I mean, I want to go back to I'm doing This Is Your Life for My Life later this week with this crazy documentary. You wrote a book about some things, but your background. I know you're Sabre nerded up and you're still baseball oriented in so many ways from all of your life, but your background, not much different than mine in a lot of ways. My dad worked at Bethlehem Steel, your family, Domino Sugar.
Domino.
You were a kid, probably taking the bus over to the and seeing really good. I mean, on the front of your bio, the second paragraph, Luis Aparicio's name's there, right? He's the reason I exist here in America, and he brought his cousin. Here I am, all these years later. So we have this background of loving baseball and then being sports writers in baseball. I did Free the Birds. Peter threw me out 18 years ago. I'm trying to get back in, not trying, but I mean, trying to lift the city, which is what this thing was supposed to be from the very beginning. But you come at it a very different way. 10 years before me, with this the beautiful story of how you made a career against all odds, really.
Well, did you know that the News American interviewed three women for the job and the first two turned it down? So
Really?
that's how I got hired there. Yes.
Who turned it down?
I don't know, but the News American was in decline. And I guess, a woman with experience in the business probably wouldn't want to go there. The men, they did hire some excellent male writers who maybe they gave them a lot more money. I think I was making $225 a week.
I mean, like I my first job was the News American too. I mean, that's why I said we have a lot more common than maybe even you realize. 1984, I made $3.33 an hour under the table to basically get Stan Rappaport pizza bread and stuff like that, on the desk over there. And Stedman, and Stedman's featured in my documentary. Is there anything you want to say about John? Because I'd love to hear what where you come from. Being a kid in the 60s, maybe reading a newspaper and wanting to be one of those men, primarily, not primarily, only at that point, writing and getting a foot in the door, because the News American offered that to me. And I mean, you mentioned the Merrill School right away. Mark Hyman was literally one of the first humans I saw in the newsroom the first night that Chris Pica toured me around on South Street in the News American. I have my first badge, my visitor badge, I'm featuring in the document. Like, so it's such a huge part of my life, but I know it rocked your world too.
Oh, I think I have a box of souvenirs somewhere. I know I have I got Reggie Jackson to autograph the scorecard I kept for the last game that he ever played. But not that Reggie was one of my favorites, but he's
Reggie was
in
a jerk to me with Ted Patterson in like
it.
88 in Memorial Stadium. I'll never ever forget what
Really?
he yo, yeah. Don Ossie came out of the bullpen and he popped up with two guys on, and it was a Saturday afternoon game, and Kubek and Jerry Garagiola were there. He was not in the right frame of mind that day to approach.
I never saw Reggie like that. No, I'm just joking. I mean, I saw
No,
him like
Reggie,
that too,
love Reggie now. Come on.
but
So, how did you come at it? I mean, give everybody your book. I really do. I want to hear your story because I don't really know it.
Well, so the News American hired me like 3 weeks before I graduated from Maryland because fortunately these other two women turned down the job. And at the time, now look, Sandy McKee was already at the Baltimore Evening Sun, so I was not a trailblazer in Baltimore. I had role models, and Betty Cunaberdy was at the Washington Star, and so, I
What
had
year is
seen.
this, Susan?
1979, I graduated from Maryland.
Wow, you're right into the middle of Oriole magic. Wow, right?
Yes, I was. And so I knew that there were opportunities for women. And it was the time when I like to say everybody wanted to have one. They all wanted to have one woman in the sports department. So that's what the News American set out to do. And so they gave me the job. And there was this lovely man covering preps at the time, Jack Gibbons. You probably know him.
Jack gave me my spot in life.
There
Jack
you
was the
go.
one who hired me and changed my life. I owe it all to
Well,
Jack Gibbons, though, literally all of it.
Jack was covering high schools and or preps sports, and the other writers were angry. The other people on the staff were angry. And they were angry at me. They weren't angry at the people who hired me. They were angry at me because I came in and was doing sidebars on the Orioles and sidebars on the Colts. And I was doing Maryland games and things that maybe, they viewed that as more elevated than what Jack was doing. They thought somebody brand new should come in and do preps. And I can't blame them for that.
And that psychology was very much the same when I started in 84. I
Sure.
mean, I worked my way up, right? I mean, I
Yeah.
got to cover one Skipjack's game and then maybe a Bullets game, and as I look at what I did, they must have really loved me because I got to do lots of stuff that I cannot believe. I look at my age and my byline. I'm like, I was 19 doing that? You'll be kidding me. But that's the opportunity that existed then that maybe doesn't exist anymore in the same way. But certainly you were a trailblazer that had it. And then by the way, you had to go talk to Eddie Murray, right, after the game and deal with baseball, male baseball play. We'll get to Kingman. We'll have to get to that.
Oh.
But in 79, you're doing Orioles sidebars on DeCinces, Dennis Martinez, Lowenstein. That was my favorite team in the world, right? That was my team. I was 11 years old. So you went to a lot of those games in 79?
I did 79, 80, 81 was, and I think my I did get to take my dad to a World Series game against Pirates, so
Don Stanhouse is coming on the show this week. He and I were texting. So I'm going old school with all of you, right? I'm trying to find everybody that's still living and willing and able to tell stories. And a guy named John Miller, not that John Miller, a different John Miller, one with an H from the Wall Street Journal, is writing a book on Earl Weaver and on his life and legacy. I probably should put him in touch with you. What would you tell that little boy in me, the little Aparicio that loved Kiko Garcia and Gary Renicky was my favorite player and wore the mask after LeGros hit him in the beginning of the year. That 79, 80, 81 team begat. I mean, they're still trying to eat off of that. And to that team was trying to eat off of Brooks and the teams that you knew in 69, 70, and 71. But you know as well as I do, there were a lot of empty seats. Was not a well-to-do franchise. Even when you went out to Oakland, it was still sort of falling apart. And the Colts left while all we didn't have football. It's a different thing you're going to come back to Baltimore this week in a way that I guess it brings us to the Oakland story of it sort of falling apart there in every conceivable way from the NBA to the Raiders back and forth to now the A's.
Well, the difference is Baltimore somehow keeps it going, and Oakland hasn't been able to. Oakland has a lot of problems, just like Baltimore does. And they have a great fan base. I think they're very similar to Baltimore in that way. But, the fans don't have the power, as you know. And if you get a bad owner, and I don't think Baltimore has the slightest idea of a bad owner ever since Mr. Irsay left town.
I don't know,
I'm
Angelos, man. I've lived here a long time. As there's a as I told Mr. Rubenstein's representative when I was reapplying for my press credentials after owning a radio station for 25 years. There's a lot of trauma here. lot of trauma here. Mike Flanagan was my friend. You know, there's a lot of trauma here. So, you know, in addition to all of that and the power of the media to be usurped and bought off and threatened in so many ways is at the core of my being. That's the fire of John Steadman and Jack Gibbons, and quite frankly, you. That, you know, I don't want rats on my desk either. I want to do my job. So, I would vehemently disagree on the Angelos thing, but I saw people portray him in the media as somebody who saved the team when the stadium was already built and somebody that didn't punch down. He really did. He punched down often.
I'm sorry,
Well, no,
but
it's not even like that. It's more, I mean, ask anybody ever did business with him. That's just a me thing. It wasn't, and I didn't take it personally, but I do think that there is a difference between trying to move the team and trying to wonder and just make as much money as you can, because he did. I mean, I did the math for John Angelos. They made $1 million a week for every week they owned the franchise, $1 million in profit in addition to the profit they took. So they bought it for 29 million in cash and cashed out at $1.7 billion. With that comes some obligations to not leave the city high and dry, you know?
Yes. I mean, I'm just so tired of hearing crying from multi-billionaires that cities that are struggling are supposed to build a stadium for them. I mean, I saw when I was in Oakland, we went from Charlie Finley to the Haas family, and they were just wonderful community-oriented owners who wanted to have a good team, and they did spend money, and the fans spent money in return. So I don't know.
Yeah, and I guess this is sports. We love it, right? I mean, we still talk about it. And you said you're coming back to Baltimore this week. You're going to a ball game?
I'm going to a ball game. Yes.
See, once a fan, like, I mean, it really is an itch like a mafia. Once you're in, you can't get out.
Yeah.
And, you know, my last name's Aparicio. It wouldn't matter how much Angelos thought he tortured me. I wasn't going anywhere, which was the whole point. As a journalist, I'm not going anywhere. I was taught well. But what's happened here is the opposite of Oakland, and maybe 15 years from now they're thriving in Las Vegas and it's all forgotten, because that can happen. I mean, it can happen with any franchise. I was down in Tampa, and the Tampa Lightning are the toast of the town there. They still can't figure out baseball, and they can only figure out football when they win. Some towns are that way. Baltimore, and you know, you're native and come from the sports side of putting the paper out every day. And I've been doing this for 32 years, every day of my life, coming on the radio and talking about sports teams here, even when we only had one of them. This is a miracle thing where the state just gives each team $600 million and says, fix it up, charge people more, put a perimeter around it. Like, that's not really go it's not even going on in Kansas City.
I don't know what to tell you. I just hope, I know there's a little bit of a movement in Oakland to to make force the A's to do what Art Modell did, leave them the Oakland A's, the idea of the Oakland A's, the trademark, the uniforms, the records. You know, we left the Cleveland Browns to Cleveland when the Ravens came here. Came to Baltimore. I'm wearing my purple, by the way. I'm also a Ravens fan, but I don't think Major League Baseball will do it. You know, Oakland would like, you know, Oakland deserves a baseball team, and maybe they'll get a baseball team, and maybe they'll be better off. You know, maybe it's not just Las Vegas in 15 years that we're talking about. You know, but I think the Oakland A's, the green and gold, should stay with the city, but I don't think
Are
they're
you
gonna do
you're a
it.
fan of the A's, right? Like you fell in
Sure.
love with the team after you covered them. You became a person who bought a ticket and went to games. I sense your emotion in this, in the way that, you know, I'm emotional about everything from a journalist side, but I still have my Baltimore Colts belt buckle over here from when I was a boy and doing this crazy documentary, finding the two or three pictures where I'm wearing my Colts hat, as opposed to Orioles stuff that I had on when I was a little boy. But you know, you felt this with the Colts as a young journalist in town. I was at the News American the night it happened in 84. I had just started there. I was 2 months into it. And we suffered all of that. It really is. It's a
Yeah.
weird thing that all these years later, later in your life, you fall in love with another team, even as an adult, and this crap goes on. And to your point, Major League Baseball, I go back to when I was syndicated 25 years ago, it's contraction. You know, I had Jesse the Body Ventura on trying to keep the Twins from Minnesota because they were going to contract them. And I think about the icky shows of San Diego and Miami and fire sales 30 years ago, Lords of the Realm and all the problems with management. And to your point, billionaire owners who've always the Lords of the Realm that have controlled the game, that through all of this, it still generates so much money. They don't even send us the games on TV if you're a Masson. But you get your heart broken by this ace thing, probably because you live there and it's breaking the hearts of the people in the same way that the Colts thing did
Oh,
here.
sure.
We don't feel it 3,000 miles away. We're like, oh, it's just the A's. There was a lot of people out there that love that baseball team. I went to playoff games out there. I saw it.
Yes. I mean, we were traumatized by the way the Colts left Baltimore. I don't ever want that to happen to another city. And I think most of us felt for the Cleveland fans. You know, we were happy to get a team, but we felt bad that we took the Browns. And if you look, you can kind of see just behind me,
I
there's
see. I see. Is that Johnny
Johnny
U?
Unitas
Hey, I was
and
gonna say, looks like
Raymond
Johnny
Barry.
U. I
Yeah.
yeah. I see
And then
that.
there's Brooks right there.
And that lives on your mantelpiece
Yes.
year round.
Yes. Yes. And
See, I
then,
do have the right guest in Susan Fornoff. I knew I reached to the right person in you this
now
week.
you can't see, but also in another corner, I have the Sports Illustrated cover. Probably won't have one of those again, of the Nuggets holding their championship trophy last year. I became a pro basketball fan now because I married a guy who is a huge fan, and he's a member of the DenverStiffs.com community. And we covered a game together last week. Boy, was that a trip to
Nuggets game.
yes,
All
that
right.
when they played the Timberwolves. And it was an 8 o'clock start here, and we're not night owls, so we had to stay up and write the recap together. And it really brought back memories of, writing on deadline. I
There's
don't know
nothing
how
like
old
writing on a trash 80, is there?
you
And having couplers. There's nothing like those memories. These
can.
kids will never understand. Mark Hyman can teach them things. He'll never teach them couplers.
Well,
Never.
now we have to embed Twitter, and I mean, there's all kinds of things, and finding the elevated statistics, all the statistics, and but it was pretty fun. He had never done that before, and to watch somebody go through
Well,
it
I told Luke this week, I said, if they give me my press pass back, I'm going to have to speak a whole different language about launch angle and spin rate with these young kids because it's all they know. It's all they're taught, and it's the measurements by which they grow, Luke and I did spring training last month, and we drove from Sarasota to Fort Myers and here and there. And I'm always regaling him, and I shave some of those days so I don't look nearly as old as I am. And I tell him these stories. I said, we drove through Lakeland, and I said, I met Sparky Anderson over there. I sat in the dugout and told Sparky Anderson who I was, and he said, you're related to Louie. You sit right here. You stay as long as you want to, young man. You know, so like I just give him the Sparky stuff. But man, you had Bash Brothers. You covered some really sort of legendary team. Steroids just leaking in, and Tom Boswell's writing about it, and he's getting
I never
shamed
took
and.
them.
Yeah, well, you're the only one, maybe.
Guess.
Yeah. I guess for all the years of covering baseball and stuff, do you have any special fondness for it that did keep you with it in some ways? I mean, I mentioned people. The one thing about getting thrown out the last 18 years, I'm glad I didn't meet any more Dave Kingmans or Rafael Palmeiros or Curt Schillings. I didn't need to meet any more of those kind of people, but I really miss the Mike Bordick types and the people that have kept with me the rest of my life. And I guess a lifetime later, you figure out who the people really were friends and people you keep around. But I loved baseball so much. I had a press pass for 22 years. I hung out in that same little mezzanine press box, eating those crab cakes that were fried up there. I had Rick Vaughn on a couple of weeks ago and Charles Steinberg telling old stories when we lost Larry Lucchino. And I feel tied to it in so many ways. But right here, right now, this baseball team in Baltimore, it's really it feels like the beginning of some sort of renaissance that I'm hoping to capture and write about and do sidebars and notes and do all of that stuff. A few columns, 18 inches, never longer, according to Stedman. But if you can't get it done in that amount of time, you don't have enough to say.
I think 20 is good.
20, I say you're a real writer, huh?
Well, look where I am now. Look where I am now.
You're
I'm
doing
in
golf stuff, right?
Colorado. Look at our baseball team. And 2 years ago, only 2 years ago, I remember doing a Facebook post like during the baseball season saying, "What is this? My three teams, Baltimore Orioles, Oakland A's, Colorado Rockies."
Wow.
I mean,
It's a lot of losing.
it was bad. It was really bad. So last year we got the Orioles, last few years really, but we got the Orioles to come around and it was so fun. But people here, I mean, things are getting bad here, but Coors Field is such a wonderful place to go to a game, and there really are baseball fans here. They just like to go to the park and watch baseball, and that's me. And I'm telling my husband, we got to go to a baseball game. I don't really want to go to a baseball game. So,
Well, it's a foot of snow out there last weekend. You can't play baseball in that.
oh, can't you change the color of the ball for just one
Well,
day?
hey, Finley tried. Come on now. You covered that team. I saw the orange baseballs back in the day. I think my dad bought one at a Baseball Digest. I told Barry Bloom that last month. So there's all sort of trickery. But for you coming back to Baltimore, what do you look at from 3,000 miles away or 2,000 miles away now, with a team you love, a team you covered, your hometown, the whole deal? We haven't. I mean, I kid Luke. Luke was born the first week of October of 1983. So, he literally was, he has no memory recollection of anything regarding a World Series here.
Oh, well, that would be exciting to have a World Series in Baltimore. I think, so my mom, Romaine, she's 89 now, and she's in a retirement community, and she watches every Oriole game. So I just have to call her to find out what's going on. In fact, she got dinged on her cable subscription. She has to pay $20 more a month now to watch the Orioles. But we said, "Mom, you're a big fan. You're gonna pay. You're gonna do it." So she's doing it. But so she fills me in on things. I don't, I can't say I know all the players, and but I try to watch when I can, and I like what baseball's done the last few years to try to speed the game up and try to. I think it's just fine to tweak some things. I'm not one of those people who say, "Well, it was that way 100 years ago," and they
You're
do
a
that in
pro
golf.
DH, is what you're saying.
Yes, I like the DH. I don't want to watch pitchers hit. I'm sorry. But yes. So, but I'm also, I think sports can have a wonderful impact in a community and in a city. And I think, you're talking about the teams 1979, 1980, 81. I remember what else was happening at that time. And Baltimore did have a renaissance. That was when Harbor Place came. That was after, because I was at the News American and there was this, empty land across the street from us on Pratt Street. And then all of a sudden, here comes Harbor Place.
Yeah, you
And now
watched
we,
that get built right from the front. You
yes.
parked in front of that when you were a cub reporter, right?
Yes. Yeah, we used to have parking places, but I don't think it's a coincidence that that all happened at the same time. And I think I would love to see the Orioles. And this is one of the things I'm kind of curious about. I'm curious to go to a game. I'm curious to see what it feels like to be in the city. I'm usually out in Towson, in the Towson area when I visit my mom, Parkville, Towson. So, I'm wishing for that. I'm wishing, I see baseball as bigger than just a game on the field, Major League Baseball. And so, I'm hopeful.
You taking your mom to the game? Is she well enough?
She's well enough. I sent her to a game last year. I wasn't there, but
We gotta
That's
take
not
her to a
correct.
game this week, man. I'll go with you and your mom to a game. I'll help you. I lost my mom a few years ago. One of my favorite pictures is me taking her to a game, having a beer and a hot dog with her. You gotta take her to a game. Yeah, for sure. You know?
Well, one of
Especially
her.
she's gotta see Jackson Holliday and Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutledge. They're all going to the Hall of Fame, Susan. We know that.
Yes. Well, oh, wow. That's a lot of Hall of
Yeah, I
Famers.
know. I mean, you know,
Okay.
that's the kind of expectation we have around here all of a sudden, though, because this team's really, really good. Susan, I've been doing this since I was like really young. I've never seen a team this good. This is the best Orioles team that there's been here in since Baylor and Gritch and the Oriole way begat that in the early 70s. Teams
It's a
that you wound
tough
up covering some of those
division.
guys. Yeah.
Very tough division.
Yankees come to town Monday. That's so next week. Susan Fornoff is here. She is a writer, journalist. She's involved in the golf world. I haven't even asked her, but more than that, she's one of us. She is a Baltimorean who escaped to a life of writing about baseball and writing about sports. She's now in the Denver, Colorado area, but spent a long, long time in the Oakland area, which is why I reached to her. We're going to be at Fadley's on Friday when the A's come to town from 2 until 5 doing live radio. I'll have the Pac-Man scratch-offs. The movie comes out, 25th anniversary. No One Listens, Everyone Hears, with tributes to people like Mike Marlowe and Bob Nussgaard and Jack Gibbons and Molly Dunham and Larry Harris and all these people, Bernie Miklas and Jeff Gordon and all these people that I work with at the News American and at the Evening Sun and the Baltimore Sun. And Susan and I never worked with. She didn't even know I was alive, probably, but her name came up all the time in the baseball circles. The Kingman rat thing, sort of, you know, I guess when something like that happens and you write about it in your book, it really is to me a case study of how inside baseball always was. And I've been thrown out for 18 years, so I can't speak to it at this point. I've only been treated poorly, and I've told that, and that's pretty obvious to anybody that's ever listened here how I've been treated. But the part about being on the inside, when I saw people like you ahead of me doing that work, I sort of knew Reggie Jackson was going to be a jerk, and if it wasn't him, it was going to be somebody else. And I'd spent enough time around Phil Jackman and people that had covered the game, and I'd been in hockey locker rooms and all that stuff by the time I was 16, 17 years of age. But baseball always had a reputation of they're the worst guys. They make the most money. They are entitled. They like all of that followed baseball players. I mean, there's a term we always use. If you show someone up or don't give them proper respect, you say, he big leagued me. He big leagued me. That's a baseball reference, right? So we all know what, none of us like to be big league, but big leaguing is what big leaguers do because they're in the big leagues. And covering baseball, I didn't find it to be, I was never particularly treated badly by players or this or that. Individually, they heard something on the radio, they thought or this or that. I found that I found myself more on the inside than the outside once I got on the inside, but it was tough, and it would have been way tougher if I would have been a female, way tougher if I didn't know the game well, way easier if I had spoken some Spanish. That would have helped me, you know, when I think about 40
Yes.
years ago. But all these years later, the Kingman thing for you and the worst things, the intimidation, all of that. I'm sorry for you. I want to apologize for you because I saw that. I saw how women were treated too. I mean, there were words like wool that they would use in the anytime a woman was in the locker room, the conversations changed, things changed. I spent a lot of time in baseball locker rooms, a lot of time. So I always felt bad that it was that way, but much like racism in the South, I didn't know what to do about it.
There was there was a lot of that. I mean, I remember the everybody knows the rat story about Kingman, but the night he hit his 400th home run, we were in Seattle and we were right on deadline. It was a Saturday night. You know, the biggest audience that you have is the Sunday morning paper. And so we were all feeling a lot of pressure to get down there and get some quotes from Kingman. And I remember we're standing in a circle and the PR guy brought him over and he looked at us, he said, "If she's here, I'm not talking." And I think it was my second year on the beat. I don't know. We had had some problems. And I looked at everybody else and they just looked at me, like waiting for me to leave. And so I threw my hands up and I left. And now, if I had to do it over again, I would have just asked a really good question. I would have stayed right where I was. But, and I like to think that if we all had it to do over again, that several people would have spoken up and said, you know, "Don't be an asshole, Dave," or, you know, if she's got to leave, I have to leave, or whatever. And I, when the University of
All it would take is
Maryland,
one of the men to say, we're all leaving. That's all it would take. So I'm very, very intimately familiar. My memoirs will include 2006 when, I took every media member in the city to lunch and told them I was doing this Free the Birds thing. And then I got thrown out and none of them said a word because there was a fealty here. And then when massing came along and the media started to shrink, and there ain't no more News Post no more, and ain't no Evening Sun no more. And then the Baltimore Sun shrunk and is still shrinking, and the Banner's trying. But really, we're in a different, you and I are way old school, but the modern websites for the team websites, and that is an interesting angle where there's no criticism at all. I remember when Art Modell came to town, Kevin Byrne and he, and this is when Art's kicking the dogs, and I think he still may call have been calling them the Browns for a minute. I remember sitting in his office one first time I met him, and he said, "Young man, never be afraid to criticize me. If all you do is praise me, they'll never believe a word you say." And that's pretty good Art, but that's literally word for word what he said to me. And that's not the way modern sports is. And I don't know what Mr. Rubenstein believes. I don't know what the goof out in Oakland believes is going to happen with Sacramento and Vegas. I keep going back to the fact that Major League Baseball allowed the Expos to do this, which begat the Nationals, which begat the Massenmoors, which begat Angelo's kid getting $1.7 billion. He's dead. Mom, the kid have the money. But Mr. Rubenstein has like a blank slate here, and Cal Ripken on his team, and Kurt Schmoke, and like all of these people. And even people like you want to be reinvigorated on behalf of your mother. You know what I mean? Like, hurry, win. We got to win. It's been a long time, right? And that's part of the baseball, hope, right? There's finally hope here, and that's a beautiful thing. I mean, even I'm bought in, Susan, and I'm curmudgeonly. I'm Jackman to come back to life here,
Hey, my mom, she's probably playing pickleball or tennis right now. So let's not, I mean, she could wait a while, but I don't really want
If she's
her
playing
to
pickleball, she's well enough for you to bring to the game on Sunday because
have
it's going to be 80 degrees. So come on, Susan.
to. Nice. The hard thing, I haven't figured it out, and maybe you could tell me when we're off the air, is when you bring someone who really doesn't want to walk or several blocks, park several blocks away or whatever. So, I mean, that's one of the issues with a downtown stadium. The parking is really inconvenient and difficult for older people.
You know
So they
what?
should solve that.
Hey, this you're doing real journalism now. And I would say at the heart of this, and I want you to talk golf before I leave, but people ask me in this documentary is coming out, how to get sideways. Adam Jones once asked me, what'd you do to piss the old man off so much? And I think what happened is I got this radio station 25 years ago, 1998. The Ravens got real good real quick, and the Orioles got bad real quick and awful. I mean, just doing awful things to people, not paying bills, just being awful, awful people, not just in the Lords of the Realm baseball sense, but not good citizens, not good with businesses in different ways, and not good with things like your issue, which is Susan calls from Parkville and says, I want to take my mom to the game. Hey, nasty. I call down to the Orioles and I want to take my mom to. Nobody got back to me. Nobody cares. There's nobody there. They're going to lose anyway. The tickets are too much. And now it's crime, obviously, right? And the safety and public safety and all of that. Amidst pricing and $14 beers and all the other things that go along with it. But I became their complaint department in the way that a cranky newspaper writer would become a complaint department for whatever bullpen issues, lineup, whatever you bitch about as a columnist or a writer in regard to covering the team. My radio station became, I had a cold hot dog and a warm beer, or why can't, and I'm like, call fan assistance, you know what I mean? But there is a point where I hear you and feel you that there has to be something on the website to say, I need to drop off my 90 something because they had a 102-year-old woman throwing out the first pitch last week. They got to have a department for that. I just know under Team Angelos, none of that was real functional for a long, long time. And, in a lot of ways. And I'm really hoping that you and your mom get to go to a game because it's special. You know that. I don't need to tell you that.
Yeah, that sounds good. $14 beers, though?
Oh, geez, here we go. You know,
Really?
I saw Springsteen in Syracuse the other night. Tell everybody about your golf thing because I have such, again, I begin all of this. You're a superstar to me because you sort of laid the path for lots of things I saw and did in writing and how I've had my own rats delivered to my own, to my side of the fence over all of these years of doing this. And the public doesn't know, care what, I get all of that, but there comes a point when doing your job on their behalf. Even if they don't understand, you still want the chance to do that. You left all of that and like golf, right? Like, give me, you've written books and you've written fun books. I don't even want to use the S word, the four letter S word, but you can.
No, that's okay. That's quiet now. I will say somebody will have to look that one up on susanfornoff.com, I guess. But I am retired. I don't want anyone telling me really what to do anymore and what when to do it. And I'm pretty much out of that. I'm finished working for people. But I do work for clients. And so my main client right now is the Colorado Golf Association, which is a nonprofit. And all these people started playing golf in the last since 2020, and they're mostly adults. It's not a junior golf growth. So my mission is to bring them in. And so I created this character called Molly McMulligan. She thinks every golf should be fun for everyone. And so I write a column, Dear Molly. I don't talk to people about their swings or the rules, but etiquette and just having a better time. Birdie juice. Can you bring birdie juice on the golf course? Things like that. So I'm really enjoying it. I write three articles a month for them.
I'm gonna
And
have to
also, I
Google
do
birdie
want to give
juice
a.
now. You know that, right? Birdie juice. I'm gonna have to Google birdie juice, right?
Oh, okay. We should always have something to Google after we interview someone.
It's a learning part of this. It's the extended learning. It's the homework.
Yes. Well, hopefully you don't have to Google Nelly Korda because I just want to give a shout out there. It's really exciting what is happening in women's golf. I know she was under a lot of pressure yesterday to tie the record held by Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam. But now we're going to have somebody going for six, and that is going to be something else. So I just want to raise the consciousness a little bit about her. She seems to have great character and great family, and she's a fierce competitor, and I'm excited to watch women's golf right now.
Well, you're into women's golf, and Caitlin Clark's the biggest story, and women's pay and equity, and we're still 30 years removed from Team USA and the soccer side. Well, I don't the Mary Tyler Moore it, but I mean, we measure how far we've come that we don't pay enough respect to people like you that were first ones to get there, which is where I go back to giving you the Jackie Robinson praise for all of that, is that it's very, very normal to have pretty young ladies running around baseball teams. It's preferred, quite frankly, to old people like me that may have been around and saw Mark Belanger play, wear a seven before Jackson Holiday. But I would just say that it's so normalized to some degree, Title IX, all of that, is when we see something like, oh, Caitlin Clark only makes how much in the WNBA, and she's making like that. It becomes a talking point at this point. It's no longer, well, she's not allowed to play or can't play. We're not in Saudi Arabia, right?
Well, that's good. You know,
Yes.
when I was a journalist, people said, don't you feel responsible to try to cover women's sports? And I said, no, nobody's interested in women's sports. Nobody goes to women's sports. I want to cover the big stuff, but now women's sports is the big stuff, and I would love to cover it.
Well, I covered women's tennis back in the 80s, and when Annika won here in Baltimore, she won the Open in Baltimore, maybe 88, 89, somewhere in there.
Did she win
Maybe
at Bully Rock? Or
no, it was before
no?
Bully Rock was built. No,
Okay.
trust me on this. I got
Okay.
a my wife says I have a memory like Mary Lou Henner, which is a compliment. Which is why I remember your awesomeness. Susan Fornoff once covered baseball in the Orioles and the Oakland A's, and I called her about the Oakland A's, and we meandered into everything, including why she should take her mom back to the ballpark. Thank you for your time and your leadership, as I would say, if we were at some networking event. But certainly. Everything in the newspaper age and era, as when John Eisenberg comes on, and he's coming on again this week because he found all these old Oriole tapes, we always talk about the golden age of newspaper and sports writing, right? The sun is set.
I don't think we're finished with good sports journalism. So keep it up.
We'll go. Good. I'll get Mark Hyman on, and we'll have a back and forth about all that. Susan Fornoff, off Maryland, off Baltimore, off Domino Sugar, and all that good stuff. Now out in
Yeah.
Denver, you can find her at susanfornoff.com, and you can also find her books. She's written them. I would recommend them. Even if I didn't say one on the air, you can go find that part of life as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and I hope to see you getting a Pac-Man scratch off with us down at Fadley's, having a proper homecoming crab cake down at the New Lexington Market. Stay with
Oh, can
us.
I have one of those, please?
Absolutely. See you Friday.